can talk, you know. It's
yeah,
not,
okay. Well, you know, I am here. We just didn't have anything to talk about yet. Okay, so starting up Rocket Punch Podcast on October the 11th. Podcasting on that day.
Are we?
Hmm, yeah.
Or are we? I mean, that's what I mean.
I guess. It depends really on when they're listening, you know?
Well, this is the date that they'll know that we recorded it, so they'll be like, they're getting a little dated.
What?
So, like, if we said it was the 11th, but we were really talking about news from 2 weeks from now, they'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we would be seeing into the future. That would be a completely different thing. All right, so, let's see. I guess we should talk about video games or anime or cartoons or something.
Or anime that's cartoons. Or speaking of anime that's cartoons, so, what I was doing was that I wanted to promote the podcast, so what I did is I like this little podcast called Anime World Order. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
I don't listen to it. I kind of link it on the front page.
You know I don't use the links on our own page.
Don't you?
Well, you know, it's just, I just use Google for everything. I just Google anime, and whatever pops up, I listen to it.
I gave them the promo. I'm like, could you please show us this? And wouldn't you know it, we're there.
You know, it's much easier than I actually thought to get a promo on some other podcast.
Because I'm not doing any work.
What are you supposed to do? You just send them like an MP3 over Gmail, and you're like, hey, you want guys?
It's harder than that. It's trying to send a concise letter, making sure that I talk ironically enough for Daryl Sherratt.
Because he only replies to ironic messages.
No, it's just he's a very. I don't know how to quite to describe him because I was just listening.
He's not eccentric, is he, right?
He's not eccentric, but he's just, like, he knows a lot of 80s movies, so...
Oh, hey, I like a lot and know a lot of 80s movies.
80s movies people wouldn't normally know about.
Oh, okay, well, I guess I won't go on a giant tangent about Crocodile Dundee, then.
I don't think that's the kind of movies.
Well, Short Circuit is fairly obscure. Me and my love for that ridiculously random movie.
I don't think it's that obscure. I think you're thinking of yourself as a bit more eccentric than you are. But in any case, the little comment that he leaves these little comments where, and in this case, he was like, it's a podcast about cartoons, and sometimes they talk about anime. But then there's a comment right below that that's like, oh, and just for the record, Spectre the Gadget is a cyborg, not a robot.
How would you know this? There's like no background on Spectre the Gadget.
I think he's right, though. Because based upon the live-action movie featuring...
French Stewart.
No, there's French Stewart,
which is the superior version.
Who was the first one?
Some guy.
He was the guy that did Ferris Bueller and then did nothing else.
He went on to do Inspector Gadget. So, yeah, that's it. I guess
if he's basing it upon the mythology of the movies, he is correct. Because he was Ferris Bueller, and then he became Inspector Gadget.
Well played, well played.
But we tip
our imaginary podcast hats to you for that information.
Are we? I guess, yeah. Well, yes, I'll take off my imaginary hat.
Oh, man.
So, what are we reviewing this week?
So, I guess I'm going to be talking about Sumi Tobatsu, Sin and Punishment, Successor of the Earth, the Nintendo 64 rail shooter by Treasure, because I got to get it off my test. I can't just keep on going on tangents.
Test.
About how I love this game and never actually fully go into talking about it. So that's it. This podcast is going to be the Sin and Punishment podcast. And for the animation stuff, we got...
Well, at first I was going to do something a bit more complex, but then I realized I didn't have the right research for the specific show which I'm referring to. So instead, I'm going to review The Secret Saturdays.
Yeah, we could have easily half-assed into any number of obscure cartoons that we happen to watch, but we had it's a new show, it was coming out, we figured, hey, Secret Saturdays,
why not? It piqued my interest, and afterwards, it lost my interest.
Yeah.
Hey, you liked it. It's
okay.
Wait a minute. Why are you changing your opinion all of a sudden? First...
I said it was average. It's okay. We'll get into it.
You said it was above average. You said you would watch it often. You said
yeah, that's
that you would hug
I,
your
that's because
gigantic bear cat action figure pillow.
I compare everything default to Johnny Test. In comparison to that and many of the shows that happen to be on it, I don't know, 3 p.m. on Cartoon Network every day, everything looks better in
does
comparison.
It?
Yes. Yes, it does.
You have a small life. You have a small scale.
I only watch
world.
Cartoon Network like 2 a.m. in the morning and 3 p.m. That's the only time that I happen to watch it.
So
to my knowledge, there's nothing else on Cartoon Network.
You live a sad existence. You live a sad existence.
But that's what the podcast is for.
So, in this first piece of hilarious animation news, which is the only piece of animation news I have.
Very surprisingly.
Yogi Bear is going to get a feature film treatment. According to the Hollywood Reporter, it is reported that Warner Brothers is working on a live-action CGI hybrid from the director of Surf's Up, Ash Brennan.
Wasn't that like the movie about the surfing chicken?
It's about the penguin. Get your stories right.
I'm pretty sure there was a surfing chicken in that movie, too.
Was he?
Even though I haven't seen it. Don't ask me how I know.
Big Lebowski?
I should hope so. That would make them...
The only point I remember about that movie is that he may have played a stoner chicken. But I don't... I've never watched the movie.
Yeah.
I just know, according to the promos, that there's a stoner chicken in it. And apparently, he might be voiced by Jeff Bridges.
Well, that was the great... Penguin CGI movie flood of 2006-2007 where
I thought you didn't listen to
Happy Feet and stuff like that.
I thought you didn't listen to news. I thought you weren't relevant.
What?
I thought you weren't relevant to news. But suddenly you know about Happy Feet?
I know
God.
That I purposely avoided it.
Where do you get off, Wing Zero?
You know, they're penguins. They got wings, but they can't fly. What's up with that? It just off-puts me. I'm like, something's up with these movies. They got another angle. No, I did not.
Then how do you know they fly?
Cause, huh?
How do you know they fly?
I said I know they don't fly. Do penguins fly? Am I completely misguided on the way these animals work?
And according to the terribly originally depressing documentary, March of the Penguin,
which I also did not watch.
It is so depressing. Morgan Freeman just sits. It feels like Morgan Freeman sitting there on the side of the Antarctic with some Scots and going, the penguins are slowly dying out. As we watch them die in the snow. It is... You have to watch it.
Oh, I've got the Morgan Freeman voice in my head right now.
Because it is such a kid... They sold it as a kid's film, but when you watch it, it's nothing about them dying.
Daddy, why are the penguins suiciding?
They don't suicide. They die horribly out in the middle of the snow because they run out of food.
Oh, that's terrible. Why would they do... Listen, we've got news to talk about. I'm sorry. I could talk on and on and have the entire Penguin podcast.
Before we talk about the news, do you want to give your 6 months too late information about the podcast?
6 months? Oh, yeah, jeez. I noticed... Well, I didn't really notice. Some filthy monkey had to kind of just, like, shake me over and over and say, Wing Zero, you're only talking about Nintendo stuff. And personal apology, I only own the Wii as my current-gen system, and Fildy Monkey is a very busy man, doesn't play as much Xbox 360 as he'd like, so if I'm a little, almost completely Nintendo-heavy, I apologize. Maybe I'll try and get some more PS2 titles up in here.
And just to tell you guys, I did just get a Gamefly subscription, so if you have any recommendations for the PS2, or the Xbox, or even the Wii, call us. Tell us what you want us to review.
Yeah, we want to know what you want to hear, so you'll listen to what we have to say.
Yes. That's putting it very well.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
So, there's a little bit of video game stuff that I happened to catch. One thing that caught my eye, you know that new Nintendo DS model that just came out?
The DSi?
Yeah, that was just announced. Region locked.
Well, it's not only region locked, but it's not going to be here for a few years.
Yeah, because here's their reasoning behind it. They're like, hey, the Nintendo DS Lite sold, like, 25% better than last year. Let's just not release the new one so we can milk America and the other territories as much as humanly possible.
I think that's a good market saturation. It's like, we don't need to release new technology if our old technology is still pretty popular.
Yeah, but they're being kind of dicks about it. It's like, here's this new Nintendo system, you can't have it.
It's not a new Nintendo system, it's an upgrade to the DS.
Yeah, but it's almost... Well, they did say there are going to be, like, specific DSi games, like, for example, WarioWare. Well, they said they're developing one that'll only work on the DSi.
So do you want to talk about the little problem with the DSi?
What, other than it's region-locked and that you can't import, and then they're just kind of dangling
the camera,
in front of us?
They said, oh, it's a DS with a camera and an SD memory card. But,
and a slightly bigger screen.
But there's a little thing. What was it? Oh, yeah, I remember. It was about the camera only being a 0.33 pixel, right?
Yeah, 3 megapixels is what they said.
Which is terrible. Which is kind of like a Game Boy camera.
Yeah, that's like slightly better than the Game Boy camera. What the heck could they possibly do with that?
Sell it.
Like, the only thing that I remember Nintendo doing with cameras, Pokemon Snap, and, like, I guess you can take a picture of your head in the Mario Kart arcade game, you know.
With Pac-Man?
The one with Pac-Man, yes. I'm glad you know about that. But, like, what are they going to do? Honestly, they're Nintendo, so sometimes they surprise us, but this just seems like a cop-out.
I don't think it's a cop-out. I think they're just enjoying the wealth they're getting.
Well, yeah, they're definitely enjoying the wealth by not releasing it when they could.
I mean, like, if they released it, they would lose DS Lite sales.
Exactly. I would be like, I don't need this DS Lite, and I would just, like, sell it up on the internet and get my new Nintendo system. So,
what
I guess,
you,
smart business
thing. I thought you didn't
have thing.
Any money. Hmm? I thought you didn't have any money.
Well, I mean, what, like, a DS Lite new is, like, $100-something. I'd at least get, like, $100 for one,
right?
And
you'd buy DSi.
Well, I could use the difference. It wouldn't be that much, would it?
You would buy a $120 system, but you wouldn't buy a $300 system.
Well, I'm just saying, look, if I get rid of my DS, that I get like $80 back.
Wait,
and then
Gerald, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Well, I'm just saying, I get rid of it, I get the new one. I'm not gonna dump.
Wing Zero.
Yeah.
I want you to sit down for a minute, and I'm going to explain to you something important. Mm-hmm. You see, when normally I have a very, very dry voice, especially when I'm being sarcastic, and normally you take this quite literally.
Really? Really? Do
yes.
I?
Yes, you do. And what you need to do is realize I'm using this sarcasm that many people have heard about.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just trying to make a point. I already own DS games.
You see, the problem is that if you're making a point over something that I already think is a dull point, I'm not really going to care about that.
Yeah, I'm in my own little world. Nobody cares about what I have to say.
That's why I
got the podcast.
I care about what you have to say. It's just not that.
All right, well, let me move on with what other stuff. So you saw, we didn't happen to catch the Punch-Out news last week. I might have noticed that there was a new Punch-Out coming out. Didn't really mention anything about it. And really, because there's not much info, they showed us, like, a video, and it's like, here's Punch-Out, it's in 3D, same old characters, same old Punch-Out. So,
Well, you were excited. It looks nice.
I do, but I feel like they're just, you know, releasing the old game, new graphics, new controls, but they're not doing anything to the core game at all.
I bet it's going to be big. I mean, people like the Wii Box thing, so there's no doubt that they're going to go into this and purchase it just based upon the idea that it's a boxing game.
Right, I'm not debating that it's not going to sell and that some people aren't going to like it. I'm sure a lot of people are going to like it. I was just kind of expecting something a lot more different.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, well, you know, it was the logical thing. I mean, you got the Wii, you got the boxing game, where's the new Punch-Out? But, you know, I was expecting, like, at least new characters or something.
They have come up with new characters. I mean, a lot of them are way too racist for 2008.
Well, God knows, we all love Soda Popinski, because he was the only, like, non-racist one.
Who wasn't racist in that game?
Oh, no, wait, he was Vodka Drunkensky in the earlier versions, wasn't he?
Yes.
So he was, like, the Russian one. Ugh. So, yes, there is no non... your Glass Jaw Joe or whatever, Glass Bottle Joe. Can't remember. He was the non-racist one.
It's irrelevant. It's just, like, basically what we're going to get is a non-racist Punch-Out, we hope.
Well, why would you hope for that? Doesn't it make it better?
I don't know.
I kind
Do
of
you
expect
really,
that.
Like, if they come out with a racist Punch-Out, I mean, I know I'll be happy with it. It's just, will the rest of the world accept our shared racism from Japan?
Well... Well, we can only say, we can only wait and hope that it's just as racist as it used to
okay.
be. Okay. Let's see. Club Nintendo, for those of you guys who don't know, is a system in Japan where, not video game system, but it's a club. And you, in Japan, they've had it for a long time, and all you need to do to be a part of it and register for it was you buy Nintendo games and you register your games online and you get, like, free stuff. And now that's finally coming to America because it was just announced recently. So that just came out from the TGS announcements,
now,
as far as I know.
Now, what would Club Nintendo entail? Because I've never heard of this beyond the Nintendo Fun Club. Is there any similarities to this?
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm not sure what the Nintendo Fun Club was. I remember, like, Nintendo Power advertising it and Punch-Out being like, join the Nintendo Fun Club today, but I never looked into it. But I do know what Club Nintendo is, and it's basically you register a game, It gives you a certain amount of points for your club thing, and then you use those points to get free stuff, like, I don't know, stickers, soundtracks, and even if you get enough, you could get, like, a Nintendo DS game.
Oh.
So, you know, hey, free stuff. I'm not complaining. About time we started getting some more stuff from Nintendo.
I mean, it's not as though they haven't been releasing video games or systems.
Well, yeah, but Japan's, like, had all... In addition to that, they've been spoiled like crazy. They've been getting, like, free Nintendo DS games and, like, action figures that they didn't need. I want some of that stuff, too.
Like what?
Well, for one, the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack, which is pretty good. What? It's all orchestrated.
You know, after the podcast, we'll go up behind the alley, and I will teach you about BitTorrent.
Yeah, and who doesn't like Tingle's balloon fight? It's
me.
Balloon fight with Tingle from Zelda. How could you not like that? And there may or may not have been a Power Rangers spoof video game that they gave out for Nintendo DS. To name just a few of the things that you got for free.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever. Free stuff. Hopefully it turns out well and they don't give us a bunch of BS that we don't want. One more thing of Nintendo news that I got here. No More Heroes is getting a sequel. Big surprise.
What do you mean a big surprise?
Suda51 said it like 50 times. It was like, yeah, there's going to be a new game. Just waiting for it to be confirmed. It's going to happen. And they're like, are you sure you should be saying this? It's like, nah, it's going to happen. And so it was announced and we got a trailer. And
there's
that's
no
it.
News.
No info.
Wait, well, how is there a trailer if there's no...
It's a concept trailer.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen the trailer for the first No More Heroes?
No.
It was completely different from how the final game turned out.
Oh, okay.
But the subtitle for the game is No More Heroes Desperate Struggle. And what are the initials for that? DS. So people were like, oh my god.
I am squinting.
It's going to be a Nintendo DS game. It's going to be a Nintendo DS game. Then Suda51 was like, nope. It's a Wii game. We punked you. It's like, that's a pretty good thing we just did there.
Punks.
God, I love you, Suda51.
So,
he's
is
so
that
good.
It?
You know what what I'm thinking is it's going to be a prequel.
No, I mean, is that it for the news?
As far as I... There's other stuff, but nothing that really caught my eye.
Let's move on. Let's...
Let's just keep going with this.
Before we go on with the rest of the news, I just want to give a little shout-out to Tyzak Griffin.
Stop stalking us.
Oh, I'm not going to say stop stalking us, because... I'm very happy that you are a fan of the Rocket Punch program and its many subsidiaries, such as Rocket Punch, the blog, and Rocket Punch, the email address. But in terms of the very various amounts of technical information about the things that we review, I'm happy you know about it, but...
We could have done without, like, the four paragraphs of...
because I like that Cyclops can shoot laser beams out of his forehead. But I don't need to know that that you can base this upon real science, because it's still shooting laser beams out of your forehead. There's no scientific explanation for the concept of shooting laser beams out of your forehead. It is still shooting laser beams out of your forehead.
Yeah, honestly, like, if you're gonna, like, apply that logic to it, okay, let's say that it is psi optic blast stuff. That makes his ability useless. You can make a tank out of shirts, and then it wouldn't get damaged by your logic. Honestly, do we need the four-paragraph citation on, like, why that it can be applied? No. Did we enjoy it? Yes.
Yes, slightly, but it's still like Wing Zero trying to put physics into One Piece. That one time he tried to explain one of the fighting styles into that.
They kick off the air. That's the explanation for that.
It's based on a guy who once was quoted by... How one superpower is worked in the show by saying cola is good. I don't think there's much logic to it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you just kind of have to suspend your disbelief. And, you know, we make fun of it, but whatever. We enjoy it, too.
So, on to our review of The Secret Saturdays pilot. What we watched to entail this review was the first two episodes, which entailed the first episode of the show. And, yeah.
Right, it's basically just setting up the show. It's introducing the characters, what have you.
So basically, The Secret Saturdays is what you could... is Johnny Quest, but except for scientists, they're cryptozoologists.
Well, you know, there was plenty of Bigfoot and pterodactyls.
Do you know what a cryptozoologist is?
Yeah, they study cryptids, which are...
No, do you know what a cryptid is?
A cryptozoologist is somebody who researches unidentified animals.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, like, you know, giant squid and stuff
because
like that.
Because you were saying, because I said cryptozoologists, and they're like people who search for animals that are fictional.
Yeah, well, that's what you would think. That's
but
what
in this universe, lo and behold, they're real.
Ba-ba-ba.
So in any case, it's not as though this is entirely a serious show. Almost immediately, there's a lot of... The artwork is very similar to Space Ghost or Johnny Quest cartoons from the 60s.
Right, Birdman, that kind of stuff. It's all very heavily shadowed.
But it's all very modernized. The characters have this very thick out... Well, actually, the thick outline is no different than Johnny Quest.
Well, yeah, that's a throwback to that stuff, and that's why it's supposed to be,
but
which is good.
But a lot of shows have these thick lines anyways.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, well, what are you doing different? I don't know. They do a lot of cool shadowing in that.
I like the one thing I'll say about the show is I really like the designs of the show.
The backgrounds are freaking good.
The background, even the character designs and the monster designs, even if there are some strange monsters, like monsters that don't fit into a realistic cheesy action show, like the Hanna-Barbera Flintstones era pterodactyl that eventually becomes the main character's pet.
Yeah, man, and what does he end up naming the pterodactyl he finds
Zod,
at the Amazon?
Because it's like the Amazon.
You get it? You get the joke?
Are we not hammering it into your brain?
Yeah, they gotta stop homeschooling that kid and get him into the real world.
So, much like Johnny Quest, this is about a secret organization of two parents and their son with magic powers, along with his Fiskerton. Fiskerton is his were-cat dog, who is based... Guess what his species is called?
I have no idea.
The Fiskertons. Get it?
Oh, wow. That's very, very clever.
And he also has a Komodo dragon. Instead of a little dog, instead of a pug dog, guess what the dragon's called? The Komodo dragon.
Is it drag-on?
Komodo!
Oh, well, that's clever as well. That's beautiful. Hey, anything would be better than that yippy dog that would just... not stop barking in Johnny Quest.
And so basically, instead of an Indian stereotype, we have a were-bat animal. And instead of a dog, we have a Komodo dragon, which is a nice improvement.
And to make things better, it can turn invisible, I guess.
The lizard.
Yeah.
But it's frivolent in comparison
sure how
to
that
the
works.
Show. So basically, there's cryptozoologists, and this entails kicking ass and beating up other animals.
Which is all good and fun if actual action is happening, which,
like,
there was very little of.
There was the problem with this show so far is that, like, despite things happening, things weren't really happening. There was supposedly a badass fight scene that happened in the air between their airship and the enemy's airship, but it's not as though we really watched much of anything.
Yeah, really, I don't know. It's kind of like, oh, we're getting shot at, the ship's kind of shaking, cut away to some unrelated character doing something stupid, and we're back on the ground.
Huh.
It's like, well, that wasn't
was
much of anything.
That was one action situation.
Man, didn't they allude to that one thing that they're like, oh man, well, you know, the exploding snakes in that one mission, that was pretty crazy.
That was a lot worse than this. The show kept alluding to situations that... sound much more badass than the episode at hand.
Like, they had some great ideas, but they didn't want to flesh them out, or they couldn't because of, I don't know, maybe censorship or...
Definitely censorship, because they basically, at one point, were attacked by centipedes that were sucking their blood and poisoning them to death.
Yeah, that was great. That kid, like, stood for, like, an entire minute longer than everyone else.
Like, that kid would be dead if that was real. The last one to get up would be the were-cat. Who would probably... would be spasming at this point. What are you joking at, cartoons? With your unrealistic characters and your crazy situations? What is your problem?
That's just nuts. We want realism in everything.
I mean, really. Like, some kid's gonna get bit by a spider and be like, it's okay, I can survive this. Just like my hero, Zack Saturday.
Man. I like the character designs a lot, as far as... I don't know, you actually have parents in this Johnny Quest version.
And, well, they were parents. They were, you know...
No, it's just the dad and the bodyguard in Johnny Quest.
Yeah, they were parents. Wink, wink.
Oh, now I get it.
I have to hit you over the head with this, because it's not limited to a not...
I've seen the Venture Brothers. I know what was going on.
So, what is the show about? It's about the Saturdays, who are the cryptozoologists, and they're called the Secret Saturdays, because... they can't let anyone know about this.
Yeah, God forbid everybody knew about the hypno toad or whatever was in the was ever in the cartoon.
The exploding toad?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that's what it was. Frog goes on, frog goes off.
Which was the best line ever.
Yeah.
I guess, if there was anything else happening in the scene.
Well, not really. I mean, it's weird. They do a lot of that cheesy, like, punch and then cut away and then you see the guy flying type of thing.
Let's,
you know?
So, let's see. There's Zack Sadjay, who's the little kid, and there's the family, who they're his two parents, who are Doc and Drew. Wow. They named his parents Doc and Drew.
So Doc is in Doctor and just Drew?
Yeah.
This show really doesn't have a lot of, you know, good names. What was the name of the villain?
It was Vivi Argos. And I don't... That's a kind of a cool name if it actually alluded to anything. If this does allude to any kind of cryptozoologic animal, I guess it'd be kind of cool.
Oh, please let us know, Internet. Correct us as much as you can.
And there was his manservant, Munya. He was literally a communist Frankenstein spider monster.
Yeah, that was... I'll give it to him. It's pretty good.
That was pretty good. It's just like... I was already happy with communist Frankenstein. But communist Frankenstein spider monster...
Well, now that's just icing on the cake.
It is. It really is. So, basically this entire plot is one of those stereotypical, I'm the kid, but I can do it because I've got guts, and I'm an adult. And basically his parents being like, no. But the dad's kind of, basically, the dad looks like the most badass person you could imagine, but he sounds like a complete man boy.
One of his eyes is kind of, like, whited out, and he's got like, a white part to his hair and like this glowing fist. He's a total wuss. He's totally
like, literally he is whipped.
Yeah, it's just listen to your mother.
Stop that, Zach. Where bat animal stop it. God, kids. Ugh.
So this kid and their family, they kinda travel all over the world, I'm assuming, fighting.
Oh, and the kid has magic powers to control cryptozoologic animals.
Which is pretty much kind of useless at this point. They're kind of like, hey, if we happen to lose and the whole world goes into a giant post-apocalyptic
thing. Which happened.
Thing.
Basically the one thing that they were supposed to do, they didn't do. All they had to do was get that piece of the stone, so that he couldn't, because there was a map on the stone that where he could, the evil villain could control the cryptids, but no, he had to save the Flintstones animal.
Yeah, and as retarded as that sounds, the villain, even if he's an idiot and could have hidden the stone somewhere where they were knocked out by the centipede poison, you know, he kind of kept the stone with him at all times.
He kept the stone with him, and then tied everyone up in vines.
Which is just as stupid, but he still gets away with it.
Even after they escape, he's just like, oh, okay, and he just goes back into his ship.
Come, Frankenstein, communist Spider-Man, manservant.
And I have to say, he's probably the best character on the show.
Yes, he's not that bad.
Like, for a villain, he's not exactly an evil villain. He's got a really nice design for it.
Right.
It's just that he introduces himself in the first scene. He goes to one of the other Secret Saturday scientists. There's a whole bunch of them. It's an organization.
Right, they start the thing. Didn't they say they were like, we stormed the place with like 50 scientists? Now there's 7.
100 scientists. We attacked Vivi Argos' gigantic mansion. Only 7 of us survived. Like, well, what happened?
And we happened to be the main characters. Well, works out for everyone.
Wait a minute. Let me elaborate on this. These sound like the lamest 100 people I've ever heard of. Because these are probably people with PhDs who spent most of their days working on lab rats. I don't think these were very good people to do a heist.
Well, hey, someone's got to shield them from the...
I think they just threw in a bunch of 50-year-old scientists onto the team who had little to no physical experience at this. And that's why 100 people died.
They're just standing around. It's like, hey, Bill, how's it going? Oh, pretty good. So what are we doing here? I don't know. They just told us to start lining up in rows and start storming the place and at their mark. Yeah, it's like, oh, I trust them.
It's like, I guess it'll be my birthday today.
Yeah, hey, happy birthday.
So.
And death day. Goodbye.
So Vivi Argos is not only is he the evil villain, but he's got his own TV show, which I think I think entails a lot of very good persuasion and diplomacy on his part, considering, like, his manservant basically films the whole thing, but he had to pitch the concept of his own show, where he would take over the world, in real life.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're going to, take over the world, you want everybody to be able to look back and see, like, how did this happen? How did this idiot take over the world? Where did we go wrong?
Well, I got the season box set, because it's the only season box set that we can ever buy now.
Oh, man.
So, in any case, his first introduction to the show is, "Hi, I'm Vivi Argus. You might know me from TV's Weird World. Oh, and the time you fucking stormed my mansion and stole my stone. Give me it."
Oh, and did I mention I wanted it back? That's not bad. That's not a bad introduction.
So, I guess there's nothing. The only really silly part of the show left is when they're finding out who he stole the stone from, there is one scientist. We don't know what race he is. He looks Indian, Japanese,
Chinese, Native American.
Native American. He looks like, I don't know how quite to describe him.
Kind of like Brock from Pokemon, but more chiseled.
And basically, he comes in, he sweats, and he's so nervous that he keeps sweating in the same spot over and over, going, maybe we should go somewhere else. Maybe we should find the other stone while we're here talking to this guy. But suddenly, he got possessed.
Yeah, by like a spider robot.
And then he died. They never say he died, but he kind of...
Oh, he died, baby. He died.
He took an explosion and a million bats to the face.
Nobody survives that. Oh, man. You know what they could have done? They could have not kind of buried a piece of rock that, you know, could destroy the world in an insanely easy-to-find place in the rainforest. It's the middle of the Amazon, but dude, the thing was buried like 2 feet underground. That could have gotten washed into a river over the 10-11 years that they weren't there.
It was right next to a river.
Honestly, that's...
It wasn't 2 feet, it was literally 12 inches.
Yeah, honestly, they're scientists to some degree. Do they not know erosion? Do they not know that these things kind of happen? It's like, I swear, the thing was right where this river is now. I don't understand it.
So... I guess that's all. That's about all I have to say about the Sacred Saturdays. Other than, do you have any last comments?
I'll end it like I started it. I'd say it's above average compared to some of the very bad Flash cartoon stuff. I hate you, Johnny Test.
You really,
but it's very basically.
You
average.
Really hate a children's cartoon that much?
When I want to watch something, and like that's all that's on.
You can watch other
yes.
things. Here's what you do, Wing Zero. You change the channel. And you perhaps watch something else.
There's nothing else on.
Then you...
Have you ever watched 3PM TV? It's terrible.
Then you put in a DVD and you watch that.
Yeah, I could just watch, Fooly Cooly for the billionth time. What else do I do?
Well, I mean, you can watch something new.
What?
Yes. There's this concept where, based upon something unknown, or a show that you have not watched, you go to a video store, and you run something that you have not seen before.
Yeah, well, so Secret Saturdays, good, not great.
I would say...
It's got potential.
I'd say below average, and this is just the pilot, so, of course, for all we know, this could have gotten the most amazing third episode ever.
Yeah, we have no idea on that part. So it's screenlit for, like, 26 episodes, though, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and apparently there's going to be a whole arc for this stone thingamabobber.
Yeah, and then if that goes, well, hey, another 26, whatever.
Who knows?
It could be the next Johnny Quest.
You mean, yes.
Or the next Venture Brothers. I don't know how that connects.
Well, how could it be the next Venture Brothers with the Venture Brothers as a parody of Johnny Quest?
There's a Johnny Quest characters in Venture Brothers.
Secret Saturdays is an homage to the Johnny Quest.
Yeah, it's a tribute to it.
They're different things.
I mean like the original one.
All right. So how about we go into Sin and Punishment?
So this has been a long time in the making.
This has been about 4 months in the making because we were going to do this for one of the first podcasts.
Oh boy, were we ever! But I don't even remember what we were talking about instead of that at the time.
I don't know.
I remember me going, "Hey, Sin and Punishment, great game." Oh, I haven't played it. Well, you should. Well, I don't really. Have
all right,
time
I'm gonna play it. I'll play it a little at your house. Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, you know, you may or may not kind of. Like, fly through the air sideways on a piece of concrete, shooting down, like, fighter jets, you know? And, like,
you know?
Slashing them with swords straight up. But, you know, that's a good thing about it.
So, what is Sin and Punishment about?
Sin and Punishment, It's about a futuristic world where the Earth is being taken over by aliens called the Ruffians. And the Ruffians are attacking all different parts of the Earth. And, you know, it's funny. They start off like, well, Ruffians are attacking Japan. You know, we got to do something about it. Cause
Ruffians?
You're a, yeah, that's what they named them.
Well, this is a Japanese to English game.
Yes, it is. It was designed in Japan, all in English, so take it with a grain of salt. Whatever. The aliens are called Ruffians. And, you know, you play as Saki Asamiya, I think is the name of the game character. And basically what your job is to... You're like a resistance force made out of, like, I guess, three people. And
that's resistance force, because they don't know that the small amount of numbers will defeat them eventually, because they won't expect them to come.
Oh, exactly. There's no better plan than to send a bunch of 14-year-olds to fight aliens that are, like, pretty much destined to destroy the Earth.
Well, at least not in Japan.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Japan's the center of the universe. That's why they always attack Japan first. You know, that's the most important part of the planet.
Well, I thought in most cases it was that they destroyed the rest of the continents, then they attacked Japan, because they know it's going to be the hardest place to go.
Well, this one, they went straight to Japan. They were like, you know what, we take Japan down, everything else will follow. So, Saki may or may not be an alien. It's kind of alluded to and not. He does turn into a giant robot.
That's kind of sweet.
So, you know, you at that point, you're kind of like, huh, that's kind of weird. Giant robot, well, you know, that's you know, it's, you gotta kind of suspend your disbelief. So it's like, it's a rail shooter, you're constantly running forward, and you've got two targeting systems. You've got, you got the red reticle, where it does double damage, and then you got the blue one, where it locks in on things.
Why don't you explain the kind of system this is, because I have no idea what
you have
said.
No idea what a rail shooter is?
Well, why don't you give a little synopsis about how this is working, because I have no idea what you just said, because you just said red reticle and blue barracudas.
Okay, so basically it's like kind of like Time Crisis. You play
okay.
Time Crisis,
yes,
right?
Yes, I play Time Crisis.
So, but instead of just shooting things, you've got a third person character that's always running, constantly running through the level. And you're able to shoot at things with either a red circle, which is a reticle, which will do double damage, or a blue one, which will lock on to enemies, and it'll do half damage, but it'll make the game easier. And that's your main way of destroying all these aliens and soldiers and stuff that are on the screen and all the bosses. And, you know, obviously you have to shoot some weak points. It's standard stuff. But they also throw in a sword into the game, which is, you know, it's not like it hasn't been done before.
I thought it was a shooter.
It is a shooter, but if something gets too close, you slash it up with your sword, which is also your gun.
That's pretty economical, though, because there's way too many shooters where there's something right at me that I've been shooting at that will not take any damage. But
exactly, because it's too freaking close. You know, so Treasure was like, yeah, you know what, we're going to eliminate that entire problem. Something that gets too close to you, you just cut it in half. So, you got, like, a point combo system, you get, like, 100 hits, you get, like, an extra continue or something. You're gonna need it. It's fairly difficult in the later levels. And, so, you know, it's such a hard game to understand as far as story. It's just so convoluted. It's like, okay, there's aliens.
But it doesn't matter, because it's a fun shooter.
Exactly, and that's the only thing that matters, because you've got these fantastically huge bosses, like giant crabs and giant robots, and, like, stuff coming out of sand dunes, like, from Tremors. It's got basically everything you could think of.
You need to, what is Tremors, for people who don't know?
Oh, it's only the greatest movie ever created, and I stand by that.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up.
So, this is a Nintendo 64 game made in 99?
It was the tail end of the Nintendo 64, I remember that much.
So, 2001, 2000?
Something like that, because I remember it looks pretty damn good for a Nintendo 64 game.
It is top-end graphics for a Nintendo 64 game.
Which, you know, you can't compare it to nowadays graphics, but at the time, pretty good. And, you know, to many people's surprise, completely in English, but, you know, only in Japan. Only released in Japan.
Why is that?
I don't know, the idea was that Treasure was going to be like, yeah, we're going to voice act this game completely in English, and we'll put Japanese subtitles, because we know no one in Japan speaks English, and then we'll just ship it out to the other parts of the world, and they're like, this will do so well in America.
Whoops!
And then they were like, I think they were rejected because there's like a lot of awkward Japanese symbolism and like blood and stuff, and they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. There's blood and like awkward English, and no one's gonna buy this. And they got it rejected, and they're like, what? We made this game like specifically for America, and you're not gonna let us bring it out? Yeah, that's what we're gonna do.
It's wah, like, wah, wah.
Then I think they went on to like Bang.io or something like that, but you know, whatever. Treasure keeps on belting out games. So you're fighting aliens. The story goes long. You get some awesome battles, which, you know, one of them's like a lightsaber battle, which is pretty freaking cool, but with swords.
Cool. So how is the music in the game?
The music, it's like kind of like techno in some levels. It's standard like action shooting game music. It's not terrible. There's quite a few songs that like, I guess I download the soundtrack or something to it. The ending theme's pretty good, but they kind of repeat music a couple of times, and like that's okay. But if you do it too much, you just kind of get sick and tired of it. Like towards the end of the game, they completely change how the game is played.
Normally.
Well, they kind of change it gradually, and then they completely throw something crazy at you. Normally, you'll be running through a level, and you'll be going forward, shooting things. You can't stop running. But then they got a level where you're on, like, an elevator lift, and you'll start going just vertically, and then you can control where you're going. And then they got levels where you got to run in a circle. And then they completely change the game from, like, 3D to side-scrolling 2D in a level. And I'm like, what is going on with how this game is playing? And every time you change a level, it's like, well, here's a new way to play. You got to think on your feet, figure out how you got to beat these bosses, jump over all these different shots that are coming at you. And it's always throwing something new, which is good. You know, that's unique about the game. It doesn't get stale. You know, the music a bit.
How much can you replay this?
Well, there's like three difficulty levels. The first time I played through it, I played on easy because I don't understand Japanese and didn't know that it starts off on English and you're supposed to switch it to normal. But my first impressions was, you know, pretty easy. But then you go to normal, and after you've beaten normal mode, which is basically hard mode, it's pretty difficult. They give you more difficulties. They give you like a time attack mode. They let you like review cutscenes and stuff. It's not like a huge amount of replayability, but you know, it's enough to make you revisit the game. I mean, it's fun enough to play as is. They didn't really need to get me back. They didn't really need to throw anything at me to get me to come back at the game.
Okay.
I mean, really. I mean, that's how much I like it.
How long is this game?
This game, I'd say, is only a couple hours long at the most. It's one of the rail shooters tend to be that short. Time Crisis wasn't long.
True.
It's very much like Star Fox 64 in that respect, where you can kind of go through the game very quickly, and there aren't that many levels, but there's so many ways to go through the levels that you're always finding new ways to play it. So that brings you back.
And how might a person be able to get it in Punch Man?
So, well, you know, like I said, it didn't come out anywhere except, you know, Japan and maybe China. And you can actually get it on the Nintendo Wii Virtual Console if you happen to own a Wii.
How much?
It's like 10 or 12, I think. It was one of the more expensive ones, I remember, because they actually had to go back and translate all the menus. So I guess that validates the higher price. But the graphics are so much clearer on the Wii, I would gladly pay for that anyway, because the Nintendo 64's got, like, really bad fog problems.
Ah.
As much as I try to convince myself that my S-video card on my Nintendo 64 will make it clearer, it just doesn't work.
Okay, so an overall opinion of Sin and Punishment?
Crazy fun to play if you like blowing stuff up and you like really hard boss battles. You know, it's standard treasure fare if you played a treasure game. If you haven't, go ahead and try it out. It's really different from a lot of the games that came out at the time and a lot of the games that are actually out now. There's going to be a sequel coming out that Treasure just announced, and I'm crazy excited for that.
Is it going to be for the Wii, or is it going to be for the Wii Shops channel?
It's going to be a standalone game, so you can actually go to a store, pick up a DVD, you know, and buy it.
Is it for the Wii? Is it for the Xbox? Is it for...
It's going to be only... As far as I know, it's going to be only for the Nintendo Wii. That's the only system that they've announced it for. But I know Treasure has been working on a lot of, like, Xbox 360 stuff. They're working on getting Radiant Silver Gun onto the Xbox Live Arcade, which was, like, a spaceship shooter like a Garuda.
Okay.
So I know they're doing some stuff there. I'd love to see this on other systems, too, if people can play these type of games. You know, they're really unique, and they're a blast to go through. I love them.
All right, then.
All right, you know. Well, awkward voice acting aside, the game has, like, laughable voice acting.
Okay.
It's pretty bad, but...
Can you send me a clip of some of the voice acting so I can put it up with the podcast?
Sure, why not? It's going to take me a couple hours. There's just so much to pick through. I mean, like, every time you shoot at something, it says, get bonus, like, every 5-10 seconds.
As you were saying last week.
And that's not even voice acting, really. That's not even one of the cutscenes. That's just in-game talking. I mean, really, you're bombarded by in-game talking, and then you got cutscenes with the voice acting added to it. Like, if you thought Star Fox 64 was quotable, this is pretty much comparable to that. There's a lot of, like, really awkward stuff in it. But to my surprise, that added to the game and did not distract from it. You know, man, good stuff.
Okay.
So, cool. Sin and Punishment, probably not going to talk about it again until the next game comes out. But if you happen to have a Wii, you can download it, or if you want, I guess you could mod your Nintendo 64 and get an import copy, but that would be much more difficult. Those are your basic options.
All right, then. And this has been Rocket Punch Episode 27. Any last words?
Well, we'd love to hear what you guys have to think about what we have to say. Like I said before, early in the podcast, if you think we're not covering certain things about animation, anime, video games, whatever, give us some things that you want us to talk about. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
And if you want to send us an email, the address is wingmonkey@gmail.com, or you can check us out at rocketpunch.blogspot, which is obviously may have been a way that you originally got to us.
That, or, you know, you could just listen to the podcast, leave a comment on the podcast. That'll work, too. Whatever.
Yes.
You know, it only takes like 5 seconds, whatever.
Yes.
All right, so this has been Rocket Punch. See you guys next week.
Where are you? Why did you do this to me?